So we're on the line with the Beautiful Kind from TheBeautifulKind.com. She is an author, sex consultant, and the editor of TheBeautifulKind.com. And how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about the way I heard about you was in a Huffington Post article about people who'd been fired from their job because of their blogs or stuff that they'd written online. And that happened to you, right?
Yeah, it happened to me in April.
Okay, so can you give a little background on how long have you had your blog? First off, for people who haven't seen it yet, and I'm sure they're going to rush to do it right away, but explain what The Beautiful Kind is, and how would you describe that to somebody?
Well, TheBeautifulKind.com is basically a safe haven for perverts. So it's this really lovely community where I pretty much play queen, and then I have all these different people who read it and read about my experiences, some very personal experiences, and they see that, and it really inspires them to go out and make their own experiences like that and take ownership of their own sexuality. A lot of people say they're jealous to read it and envious of it, but in a very loving sort of way, they're inspired, you know, they want to be like that. So some people aren't ready yet, so they absolutely live vicariously through me, but other people are starting to rattle the cage a little bit, pick the lock. They're starting to step out and see about their own kinks and fetishes and desires. And that's that community. So I'll post something almost every day, and then people will comment on it, or they will submit their own stories. I have a series called My First ... So you can write about your first blowjob. You can share your first time having sex in a car. You can all these beautiful experiences that some bring tears to my eyes when I read them in my inbox, and then I edit them and put them up there so that other people can share in these experiences. And it just is a really warm, safe, fuzzy place.
Well, you know, it is interesting, too, how the online world has created a place where, you know, it used to be, for instance, if you were if you thought you might be gay, for instance, mm-hmm. what you'd have to do is, you know, you knew that there were gay bars in your town. You'd actually have to get up and physically go out to a gay bar. Maybe you weren't sure if you were gay, but you've mm-hmm. sort of had that inner desire or whatever. And then there was all the language and the jargon and the codes, and you didn't know any of that. And so I assume, I haven't had this experience personally, but I assume that must have been really terrifying for people to have to physically go someplace where they could run into who knows, you know,
right.
people they work with. And one of the things I think is really interesting and good about the online world for people exploring their sexuality is you can explore it and learn the jargon and sit back, and you're completely safe. You get to remain anonymous.
Right.
And sort of figure out things. And I think for some people, they might stick their toe in the water a little bit, so to speak,
exactly.
and go, oh, you know what? This isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. That's fine, too.
No harm, no foul. They back out.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it seems to me like that would have been a lot harder to do before the online world. Almost impossible, basically.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
And so, you've had now. How long have you had the website?
I have been doing this since 96, so I'd say it's about 4 years now. And when I first started out, I was absolutely...
Well, wait, 96 or 2006?
Oh, my gosh. Sorry. 96 is the year I got married.
Okay.
And then I got divorced later. But anyway, 2006, yes. So
okay.
It started out as this blog where I was ranting and complaining and bitching about things because... As many fetishes as I have, I also have a lot of pet peeves. And somebody said, you're not allowed to have all those pet peeves. I said, I'm the crazy cat lady of pet peeves. I have so many pet peeves. And that was my outlet to talk about all those things like Croc shoes and stuff like that. So then it just started morphing more into sex. I would start talking about my sex life and I started bragging about my sex life. And it was this place where I could just talk about all these crazy things that I've done. And so then it was always kind of like this bitchy goddessy sort of tone, and then it just started morphing when people started coming to me with their questions. It turned from this kind of diva goddessy thing to this more of a loving earth mothery hippie sort of community. So that evolved. So then I was a sex blogger for a while, and now I feel like I'm onto some other path that I haven't figured out yet, but it's something bigger and deeper. There's something bigger there. So that's the whole evolution of it the past 4 years.
Now, so what happened with your job? Explain that. What were you doing, and then what? How did it come up?
Well, I know my calling. I know my passion. I know what I'm supposed to be doing in this life. I figured that out, and that is to help other people embrace their sexuality and really be open and honest, and I know that it's in my heart and my soul to live authentically and be true to myself. And I'm really glad that I've come that far in figuring out who I am and shedding a lot of insecurities. And so I have been doing this website as if it's my full-time job. I probably work at least 40 hours a week on it. However, I don't make any money off of it. I used to have a PayPal button that you could donate to, but then PayPal suspended that because my site was adult content. So that 40 or 50 bucks I was making a month got taken away. So I really needed to find a way to make a living doing this. This is my passion. I'm good at it. So I started offering sex consulting in town, where I would talk with people for an hour and they would tell me their thing, their problem, their issue, and I would help them figure themselves out. And that was nice, but I only get one of those every 2 weeks or so. So that's still not making a living either. So I had to go get a day job and still do this thing that I'm really loving and enjoying. And that's my thing. So I went and I found a job at a local nonprofit, and they loved me. They hired me almost immediately. I gave them my references. I don't even know if they checked them out. We just had such a great rapport in our interview. So I started work there, and I was very conservative there, and I was very careful to dress very conservatively. I wore long dresses, and I really minded my P's and Q's, because I have this secret that I had, this website that I imagine they probably wouldn't want to know about, and so I wanted to keep those two things extremely separate and private. I didn't think that they would like it. So I worked there for a month, and I was doing very well, and they really liked me, and things were going fine, and I was bringing all kinds of fun new ideas to the table. I was doing office work there, so not only was I doing the filing and those sort of mundane tasks, but I was also bringing these innovative ideas, and they loved that about me, that I was really thinking outside the box with them, and it was great. But then, this is the complicated part. I'm on Facebook, and one of my coworkers friended me on Facebook, and I thought, ooh, I don't know about that, because I really want to keep my personal and this professional life separate, but I thought it would be rude not to accept her friendship. You know, I want to make a good impression there. So I cleaned up my Facebook page, because my Facebook page is very normal and has pictures of me and my daughter and different things that I do, but I also do modeling, and I do, you know, I live a life, so I wanted to make sure that those sort of things weren't visible. So I took some of that stuff down, and then we were friends. And so she started poking around my page, and she found a couple of photographs of me modeling that an artist had posted of me and tagged me in them that I overlooked. I didn't realize they were up there. They were some beautiful henna art. And she saw them, and she sent me a note saying, you know, you really need to take those down. Even though my Facebook page is private for friends only, for all she knew, everyone could see those pictures, and they didn't want someone who's working at their company to have those sort of pictures associated. You know, even though it's totally separate, it's my personal page. But I was very accommodating. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I took them down right away after seeing that they were there. And then that got her thinking. And so then she told my boss that maybe they should start looking me up and researching me and Googling me a month after I started. So they Googled me, and immediately, within the first page, my name came up right next to my very, it's not a porn site, but it's an adult site full of adult content and sexual themes. And they saw that, and the reason why they saw it is because there was this weird third-party media thing called Topsy that was feeding off of Twitter search engines, and they pulled some old cache thing that was still sitting up a year later. And so it was just a total weird freakish fluke that wasn't even there 2 weeks before I searched for myself being new there just to see if I would find anything, and it wasn't there. So they saw that and absolutely blew a gasket, flipped a lid, just absolutely freaked out. It was just, I can't imagine what that must have been like for them. So as soon as they found out about my website, I went into work that morning, and I didn't even get my coat off when they called me into the office, and it was my boss. And she had a really hard time even being in the same room with me. She really wouldn't even look at me. She was so disgusted. She was so horrified. And she told me that she was told by upper management to do a search on her employees, and that my site came up immediately, and how could I put that sort of stuff out there, and what was I thinking? And she felt like she was talking to a 14-year-old kid, and how dare I do something like that, and we're done. That's it. Game over. Get out.
And she must have looked at the site a little bit.
Well, it was every post on there is definitely pretty racy, and the one she had looked, the one that was on the top of the page when she looked, was about this really amazing threesome that I had, and it was pretty interestingly graphic and beautiful and gorgeous. And if anyone is not comfortable with anything besides having sex with her husband, because I assume she has sex with her husband, then that's going to make you really uncomfortable. And it definitely was, yeah.
And so, of course, they instituted this policy for everyone who worked there that they would look into their sex lives as well. No, they didn't, of course, right? It was just you. It was just you.
Well, yeah, and I don't know why I got, quote, picked on like that, other than that woman seeing a couple of really beautiful pictures of me wearing henna and not much else, and feeling jealous, feeling threatened, feeling creeped out, feeling, I don't know.
Well, so you lost that job. Now, how do you feel about that now?
Well, it is interesting because there is a process of doing, you know, anytime you break up with someone or die or lose something, you have to go through kind of a grieving process, and there is all those steps involved. So that the first 2 days I was so sick and horrified. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was just, it was very traumatic. It really was. I mean, but at the same time, I've been through this a few times in different ways. I'm kind of getting used to this being a pariah. And so I wasn't angry at all. I was sad. I was very sorry that they felt that way. And like I really want to reduce the amount of suffering in the world. And it was a lot of bad energy. And that makes me, it makes me feel bad, and I really feel like my site is a positive, good thing. I really do. I feel like it's helping people. I feel like it's a spreading of good energy. And so, wow, when those two worlds collided like that, it created quite a, So how do I feel about it now? It was so close before that now when I think of it, it really is kind of mind-blowing, because when I told my story, I shared my story on AAG's site later on. Since I took my site down for 3 weeks, I needed a place to speak to my people. And so she was so nice to let me use her space. She's like a foster home for displaced sex writers. And I talked about what happened to me. And then all these people, over 150 comments, all these people were just outraged and angry and said I should sue, and were just outraged. And I really appreciated them feeling that way for me. I mean, they did it for me. I didn't feel any sort of anger or anything, but I do feel like if I wanted to sue anybody, if I wanted to really blame anybody, it would be society for the whole slut-shaming thing and for the fact, I mean, seriously, I was severely punished for something that I, in my heart, do not feel is wrong. I'm celebrating one of the most precious parts of our life. You know, if I feel like to me, food is as important as sex is as important to a good night's sleep. That's all fundamental and crucial parts of ourselves.
Now you say slut shaming. That's interesting. It's an interesting way to put it. So you think part of this was just you being punished for being a woman who
in touch with my sexuality
is sexual. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. And I wonder if I were to go back, rewind, and put a guy in that place, what the reaction would be like. I really don't know, but I'm pretty sure that he would get high-fived. I don't know.
Did you get any high fives?
Well, to be honest with you, I definitely feel slut shaming and doors closing in different places, but I've had so much overwhelming support. At least 80 or 90% of the people I hear from are supportive and loving about it. And really, I was shocked. I honestly was surprised at all that amazing support. So I do have a really wonderful reader base that I don't know if they want a high five or they definitely want to cheer me on. They want me to keep going, keep going. That's the thing. When I took my site down, people wrote to me and they said the internet is not as friendly of a place anymore. This feels sad to me. And they really felt a loss. Like TBK had died and they wanted TBK back and they really missed that. And they kept telling me, do not give up, keep going, push forward. You have to keep going. And I was just amazed at that sort of support.
Do you feel at all weird now that you had actually gone through the process of like wearing the long dresses and cleaning up your Facebook site? I mean, does that feel?
Oh, God, yeah. It feels like I would imagine a married man feels when he has to act like a robot instead of a man, where he has to stop smoking, stop drinking, he has to stop looking at other women, he has to clean up his act like that in a way that is unnatural. I feel bad for all those people who go through all those motions. I hate censorship. I hate people hiding really big parts of themselves. I mean, I did it because it's what I had to do. I really, honest to God, wanted to pay my mortgage. I really needed to do it. So I don't mind selling out to do that and then having my separate life and still continuing. But it was just weird that this job really felt like they should own somebody 24/7 instead of 8 hours a day and be in charge of what they were doing on their off time. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, for sure. Absolutely. I absolutely did not belong there. And of course, since I got kicked out in such a reactionary, it was pretty harsh. I mean, obviously I didn't belong there. I'm still trying to figure out where I do belong. So,
well, you know, it's funny too, because you talked about how you were able to bring sort of out of the box thinking to that company and that they liked it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I don't think that they see the correlation between your ability to think outside of the box and the fact that you're able to think outside of the box in your regular life. There's no, to them, they don't get that. Like
right.
that creativity is because you're creative in your personal life.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's just like a lot of relationships I've had in the past where I'm with a guy who loves that I'm bisexual and I want to be with other women, and he loves that I'm freaky and love giving head, but then he's not okay with me wanting to be with other men. He's not okay with me wanting to do different things. Like, he wants to order things a la carte. So these people that I worked for, they absolutely loved my creativity and they wanted it that way in that box, but then they weren't okay with the rest of me. You know, it's so similar with it. Wherever people go, they have to constantly put on masks. And my goal right now is to shed as many masks and layers as I can so that I can just be myself. And I'm very, 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 million times very lucky that I am with a partner who I can be myself with. And my daughter, I can truly be myself with her. And she tells me the same thing too. She says, Mommy, I'm myself when I'm with you. With everyone else, I have to act like a little kid. I have to act like a pleaser. I have to act like this. And with you, I mean, she and I, when we're in our house together, we are human beings and we are happy. And it's just beautiful. And it breaks my heart with all these people out there putting, I have a term, think outside the cage. Think outside the cage. People go and they go to the zoo and they look at all these animals in these little moats and things. And then they go and put themselves in one in the office, and they take the key and they throw it out the window, and then they're miserable. And people do that with marriage too. A lot of people in these marriages where they have to stifle so much about who they are. It's intense. It's intense. And then everyone's taking medicine because they're unhappy.
You know, it's interesting too. I think in the news right now, you see that with the Mel Gibson thing, where
yeah,
obviously he got involved with Oksana. Because he liked the way she looked, and he liked stuff about her sexually, but then he has to, you know, call her a whore.
And a slut because of the way she dresses?
Because of the way she dresses, exactly right. It's like, well, we assume you got involved with her because the way she dresses. But you're right, yes. That happens so much where people, once they get involved, they like you because you're sexual, but then once they get involved, it's like, okay, I liked you because you're sexual, now stop, please.
Yeah, I guess she needs a burqa.
Right, yeah, exactly. He'd be happy with that.
Yeah, because then he gets his toy all to himself and no one else gets to even look at the toy, much less play with the toy.
So now one of the things, too, that I think is that's interesting about your story is I think that there's a some people would take your story as an example of don't be on Facebook, don't expose yourself, don't have a website, they would say that your problem is that you were too much of yourself, that, you know, you could still have your job. And I don't think you don't seem to feel that way, right? I mean, if you had a choice between the job and the site, what would you pick?
Well, that is one thing I had to do some soul searching with as I was looking for another job. And I'm still looking for a way to pay my bills right now. I don't know where that is or what that is right now, but I had to think about that. And I talked with my partner deeply about that. I said, should I get rid of this website so that I can keep a job and keep my house? It's a really tough decision to make. And I decided that I could do both. And I was wrong. So I definitely feel paranoid and really realize if you make one wrong slip with your keyboard, if you enter your name into something you think is on the back end and all of a sudden it shows up on the front end and then it gets screen captured or it gets cached or whatever. I mean, everything you put out there, it really is stuff for people to use against you. It's all ammunition. And in fact, my partner's ex-wife, she is a grown woman, and she reads the website and likes to get agitated about it. And then he says, well, why are you reading it? And she said, because she puts it out there. So it's my fault that she's reading it because I put it out there. I don't know. I mean, so it is a cautionary tale for sure. But at the same time, I'm trying to keep going forward. I'm trying to not have the circle go back to take your stuff down. Be scared. I'm trying to keep that going so that we can finally get to a point where, and see, once she pushed far enough, once she had enough people backing her up, and once she really took a stand and came out and then it worked out for her and they lived happily ever after and show that as a success story, then that's definitely what I'm going for right now. My webmaster wrote a really nice article on my site about protecting your internet privacy. And so if you are worried about that sort of stuff, he wrote it at a very basic level and he talks about all the social media places you need to be aware of. There's so many things I didn't know when I was 2 months ago. I had no idea that when I took pictures with my iPhone and then posted them on Twitter that people were able to track my location using that information in the background of the picture. It was really like all these things really made me, whoa, yeah, I had no idea. And I learned a lot.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. So what now, and also this is also sort of exacerbated by the fact that you're in the Midwest, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would guess that if I was in San Francisco, I wouldn't be having this issue at all because I've worked two different San Francisco-based telecommuting jobs and they both knew about my site and they liked it as a part of me. They thought it was amazing and creative. They used to check in with it. It was great. And I have a friend out in San Francisco who was so outraged when I got fired. And he told me, he said, people do that stuff all the time over here. It's no big deal. You need to move out here. You need to get away from that dangerous, icky, hostile climate. He was trying to rescue me, but I told him, I said, I really need to stay here. I have some work to do here. And of course I've got my family here. So I'm going to stay here and I'm going to try to get the Midwest up to speed with the East and the West Coast. I really think it's possible. I don't know about the South. Just kidding, but I don't know.
So what? You know, and what's been the what are you doing about that? What's been the challenge there?
We tried
trying to loosen up the Midwest a little bit.
Well, It's challenging because I do know that my number one city of readers is St. Louis. Number two city is San Francisco, and so on. Everyone reading it, they love it and they really are supportive of it, but they're all kind of staying safe right now. And it is challenging, and I would love to reach more people with the sex consulting work I do, where I talk with people about their issues, but I'm not even sure where to advertise that sort of thing. And one thing that I'm working on right now that's super exciting and brand new, and I'm still even announcing it, is this sex positive St. Louis community that I've started with a couple of other women in town. We're just now getting the blog up. We're just now figuring out details about what sort of workshops we're going to introduce. And so it's going to be a resource. Just like Seattle has one of these sex positive groups, we're using them as a model. And so it's going to be Sex Positive St. Louis. So it's going to be there. It's in the infancy stage right now. So that's something that I'm hoping will really bring people together. And there are a lot of really good resources here in St. Louis. There are some wonderful people who know a lot of things, but nobody knows who or where they are. And so I'm hoping that we can have this sort of, it's sort of like a kink, a sex library for vanilla couples, for everyone, for and then we have a gay and lesbian center, but that's for gay and I mean, I want this to be really all-encompassing. I want people to really feel accepted and safe in this area, even if they just like vanilla sex. I think, a lot of people start to think, gosh, monogamous vanilla people get shamed nowadays, And so I just want to make sure that everyone is getting the answers they need for whatever issues in life, kind of wherever they are in life right now, helping them grow or just be happy with what they're doing right now.
And so if someone's listening to this and they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way? Through the website?
Yes, if you go to thebeautifulkind.com, I have a contact link right at the top. Unlike a lot of websites, you go and look around, you go to the very bottom right, tiny whatever, it's right there at the top. And then you click on contact, and then there's a form, and you can fill it out and hit enter, and then it goes. And my webmaster was so smart to have a way that you could contact me. And so, and my email address is love@thebeautifulkind.com.
Well, that's great. Okay, well, thanks
Yes.
very much.
Thank you.